learn from Team Up and kind of do biblical application from them. Okay, so what are some of the best Team Up? Remember, I just go to you right away, Winston, because you know, I feel like you're
yeah, big sports guy over here. I think...
I don't know.
Sorry, but like, that's an improvement over the nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go basketball. Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. You know, Michael Jordan, maybe the greatest basketball player of all time. Phil Jackson is head coach. Michael Jordan was famously, infamously one of those two things, like a psychotic person. Like, he probably needs therapy.
Okay.
He just like, winning isn't like something you do. It is the only reason for living.
And
everything else is awful.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
So, like, for example, he had an injury, and they said, "Hey, you really shouldn't do anything on it, you know, because you're gonna make it worse." And he's like, "Well, what are the odds?" And he's like, "Well, it's probably like a 20% chance that you're gonna make it worse. It'd be like a long term thing." And he's like, "Well, that means it's 80% chance it's gonna be fine. So let's do it." And he's like, "No, guy, not worth it." And then to opposite side, Phil Jackson, known as a Zen master, he was like famous for being really weird and really 60s hippies.
Uh-huh.
"Hey, let's do some like yoga together, guys."
Right.
And so it's just those two guys on the same team.
Okay.
Going to one of the greatest dynasties in sports history.
Nice.
It was a nice team up.
Very cool. Very cool. What are some other team ups?
Bogey and Bacall.
Okay.
Lauren Bacall and Humphrey Bogart.
Oh, I didn't know anyone about Bogey.
Yeah, I love that with him. Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
It was in a song.
Oh. Very cool. Any other good team up? Well, there's a really famous movie about. Oh my god. I don't know if I say this is the best one, but it was the most recent one that I was thinking of and find pictures for. What makes a good team up?
Winning the same goal.
Yes, absolutely. Aligned goals are really important.
Working well together.
Yes. I think you really illustrated that with your example. Like, I really like that one. Even though I really didn't know about the other guy. But any other thoughts about what makes for a good team up?
Communication.
Trust communication?
Sorry.
Yeah. And what works really good in fiction, not necessarily in real life, you have that really good sparring banter. You know?
Yeah.
You know, the Wolverine, Deadpool, you know, they don't necessarily like each other. They just have really good on-screen dynamics. Doesn't necessarily work well in real life, but it's fun. Team up from scripture. I have a few, but just wondering if, yeah.
Jonathan and David.
That's the first thing.
Jonathan and David? Cool. Any other thoughts? Okay. These are the ones I was able to come up. We got Moses and Aaron, Ruth and Lillian, Emmy. Those are interesting. I put the concept under. There's only one line, but that's such an amazing thing. Like, if we're going to talk, team up name, Sons of Thunder.
Yeah, that's
up there. And then Mary Elizabeth, Paul and Barnard, and then when he broke up with Barnard, Paul and Hilliard. Some people, they have, they're a Spider-Man team up. They team up with, Wolverine one day, Fantastic Four the next. Yeah, it's just, bounce around. Yeah, it bounce around. It's good. actually, Jennifer, would you mind reading this really good team up energy here?
Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
Sorry, I kind of think this passage, because I really feel like it. Like, I don't really think we need to argue too much about, we need to team work together, but I feel like this is just a really good example, or, good scripture for why we team up. more efficient and more effective, helping each other, keeping warm. I mean, that's a little more physical, but yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, also, isn't it where two or more are gathered in your midst? So
I did not even grab that one, and I should have. But yeah, no, you're right. Like, it definitely, yeah, with the body of Christ, all of them. Defend themselves, and then not easily broken, and not really in that scripture, but like if we're going to do keep warm on a metaphysical level, encourage each other.
Yeah.
keep the fire going. What are some other ways, reasons why one might team up or work with other people? I know Lee actually gave a good one of just, you know, aligned goals.
I was gonna say sometimes the team up isn't really about like the goal today, but you want to have like a legacy thing. So then like you team up so that the next generation has something to go forward with.
Okay.
This might also be a sports thing. So like.
Okay. Give me an example. I'm trying to.
Jerry Rice, well known as. Jerry Rice is a wide receiver in the NFL, played for the San Francisco 49ers. Many people know him as the greatest wide receiver of all time.
Okay.
But probably one of his lasting legacies is one of his last couple of years with the 49ers, they drafted Terrell Owens. So
okay.
He took Terrell Owens under his wing, and they were a tandem wide receiver duo, where T.O. is like the young buck who like had a hot head, very much about himself,
right.
Didn't have great hands, but had the physical traits to be great, and Jerry Rice taught him what it took to be great.
Cool.
And then, after Jerry Rice leaves the 49ers, T.O. goes on through lots of drama to be known as also one of the greatest wide receivers of all time.
Okay.
He's like second all time in receiving yards, receptions, and touchdowns. So like, they were great together.
Good.
But Jerry, I think to me that's like a shout out to Jerry Rice because that team up lifted T.O. from being a hothead good receiver to one of the greatest ever.
Right. Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Learning from that makes a lot of sense. Like I like that a lot. Yeah. Okay. And then, just great example, Jesus sending out, disciple compare, so we have, in Mark, calling the 12 to him, began to send them out 2 by 2, and then, in Luke 10, we have sending out the 72, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and sent them 2 by 2 ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. As the Lord of the harvest, therefore send out workers into harvest. Just want to make sure. The after this does not refer to that. It's just saying what happened before. Paul and Barnabas are clearly, we definitely see, especially in like a missionary or outgoing role, going in two, it's like, two is a great number.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, two is safety. I mean, if one gets sick, someone, the other one can go for help.
And especially when traveling, you've got kind of, it's not an unwieldy number. kind of like that saying of like, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go in a group. If you want a little bit of both, I mean, that part I added. So many examples of strong pairs, but they're also larger driven. So let's talk about teams.
Mm.
Not just team up, but teams.
Yeah.
What makes a good team?
Well, I think as Winston pointed out, you have to have the desire to win.
Yeah.
You have to have that, or if you could be just selfish, I want the glory, but it is a team. And there isn't, and I don't think there's one team that has succeeded that one player carried them on their back and they
The whole verse, no I in team. Yeah. Yeah.
Diverse skills.
Absolutely. And that actually gonna go into so. I don't know if you know a TV trope. I just grabbed this straight from them. But there is a TV trope called the 5-man band. And again, this is a more literary fiction type thing. It's more like TV and that. But basically, you know, think Captain Planet, Power Ranger, a lot of anime team.
Ninja Turtle.
Well, yes, almost. They're almost there. They're one away. But what is it? Leonardo the leader, Raphael the rebel, Michelangelo the heart, Donatello the branch, and they're all grown.
Yes,
but
I mean, it's very obvious.
In a more hero central band, you'll have the hero leader. But, you know, you might have Luke Skywalker, the Rebel might be like the, what do you call it, Han Solo, Braun can be Wook,
Chewbacca.
Heart, I don't know if that'd be Princess Leia, probably just, you know, but, and Brain, maybe the droids, I don't know, I feel like that might be a stretch.
Probably also Princess Leia.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you see this throughout fiction, and you know, in fiction, it's enough diversity covering a lot of strength, but also small enough that the audience can understand it. In a real world situation, team is whatever the work requires. But it is fun to look at fiction. Teams in scripture, like. There are a lot of things that have, like, Israel armies and stuff, but I'm like, that's an army, not a team. Like, because these are the ones I came up with, and I don't want to hear if you can think of that. Well, actually, you know, let me not steal your answer. Any that you can think of.
Like the 12 disciples.
12 disciples, yep, that's a good one.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. The main one I can think of was David's Mighty Men, you know, right up there with Kung Fu Thunder, you know, like, dude. and then I put in the Woman on the Cross because I feel like it might not have been a traditional team, but I feel like, you know, the 12 disciples did their spotlight, and the women are often kind of.
They were there too.
Don't get, you know, but like here they have a spotlight, and they are doing a lot of the both emotional and physical labor. At the trough, you know, going to the trough and then at the one credit team. And so maybe not, you know, they don't have a cool title, but they are definitely. I don't know if there's any other that we really think of as a team in the traditional sense.
Well, the Pharisees. They were
I would actually say they're a sect, but
okay.
You know, like an army, they're a little bit too big to call a team, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I'm just touching hair, I don't know. but I mean, yeah, they did gang up on Jesus, so you know, we'll call them, you know, the evil mutants.
The opposing team.
Yes. Okay. But we do. Okay, so. This is actually from a tracer credit. A good team often has a diversity of strength. The Snap Stretcher package is a great illustration of that. And Lee, would you read this one?
So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
And that apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher is often called APEX. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, and this is more aspirational than practical, but like, as a church, the table has wanted to get away from the single pastor, you know, everything falls on them, often being both shepherd and teacher. And just to give a quick, you know, the apostle initiates, the prophet, you know, confronts the power, evangelist shares, shepherd cares for the flock, and teacher instructs. So just getting some definitions down there. Ultra apostle, I think, messenger, but yeah, usually the first one to, you know, start something. But the idea is that we all have gifts, and we are all leaders, and so we shouldn't just, it shouldn't just be one person or the board, you know, we are, especially in a tiny church like us, we are all leaders, and that's, you know, like, a little bit over a week ago, you know, 8 days ago, we had our retreat, which also had, like, brainstorming and planning meeting, and so we you know, I think everybody knows this, but we are all leaders, and we are tiny enough that, you know, well, if you have an idea, you might be the one who gets thrown. You might have to do it, but trying to make sure that everybody, you know, because we don't all have the same giftings or personalities, and that works, yeah. So, apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, diversity of strength, also, interesting thoughts. Do we have a 5-minute man? Not quite, because the brawn maybe not. But the other one, 4 out of 5 ain't bad. 4 out of 5 ain't bad. But, yeah. I found that hilarious. But yeah, so, interesting question. Do anyone feel like they have the giftings of any of these? Like, you know, you hear that and they're like, yeah, that's me! Or you're like, nope, not me, not me. So let's start with the nope, not me crowd. If you're a nope, not me, raise your hand. Okay. Jennifer, you're wrong.
You didn't want me to say that, right?
No, actually, I did. Thank you. But even if you don't feel like you belong to one of these, you still have gifting, you still have value, you still probably actually have some of this. It just isn't in the authoritative role. Like, I actually, like, you are good at hospitality, which kind of falls under a shepherd type thing. It's caring for people. It just might not be in the, oh, I'm shepherding over, I'm more of a shepherding under. I don't know. But,
you shelter people in my church.
But, yeah. For those of you who didn't create it wrong, if you're comfortable, I'm curious what aligns, what of these you feel aligned to? And it can be more than one.
For me,
yeah.
Definitely, I think, teacher and
yeah.
shepherd, like, kind of
combined. Yeah, yeah,
working
yeah.
with the kids, caring for them,
yeah.
teaching them.
No, love it. Yeah, I definitely feel a bit of a lot of shepherd caring for people. I'm a teacher against my will, but, you know. And evangelist and prophet, I'm like, I don't want to talk to people. Okay, anybody else want to share? Or? I'm going to take that as a no, because I'm going to move on. Okay, so, same verse, but just, you know, Christ is our favorite, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor, to equip his people for work for service, so that the body of my Christ may be built up. So that's a major focus here. You know, it's not just a, hey, give me a job, it's a for a purpose. And it's to bring us to unity and faith and knowledge of the Son of God to become mature, attaining the whole measure of fullness of Christ. So it's not just a division of labor, it is for a purpose. And, you know, we're talking about teams, we need to have that you know, that goal, that purpose, that's it, or that's part of it. So now the downside about teams, I think, let me not put words, I've been in many teams that even a good team, you will have issues or disagreements. You know, we have the example of Paul and Barnabas, you know, Paul, you know, breaking up, so to speak. But just because we are the body of Christ, just because we have aligned goals, doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard sometimes. There will be butting of heads. There will be, you know, my gift pushes me this way, or, you know, your gift pushes me that way, and we're not always going to agree, and that's okay. Yeah.
I felt like I was talking to it before, but what I was going to say to your answer of what makes a good team
yeah.
is response to adversity, because
Ooh.
Adversity is going to come,
yeah.
so the good teams can respond to it well.
Yeah.
The bad teams are when everything's good, things are great, then once something bad happens, everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Those aren't the good teams.
Yes, absolutely. Any other thoughts on that? I'm speeding through a little bit quicker than I intended, but
I can talk about sports more.
If you want. I mean, I'm not quite done, but
I was going to use your same example about Phil Jackson and the team, him being the coach and recognizing the diversity of his team. He found what brought them together, what unified them. Even if he had to force the yoga on them, or what was it?
He did lots of really great things.
But it was like, you're going to do this. They acknowledged they were going, like Moses finally acknowledged to God, I will go in front of people, And so there is a lot to that in being in a teamwork.
Sure.
You have to have the leader.
One of the best teams I was on was, putting on a lark,
12
years, it's a while. Prepare me for next year. Believe it or not, yes. But the person who ran it was really good at understanding what people's strengths were and giving them that job.
Mm-hmm.
And he got better over it. And he made some mistakes and learned that Luke doesn't do homework. and there was another person who didn't do event work and eventually had to realize, Just need to make sure the jobs are assigned. So person who does homework but doesn't want to do anything at the event, we give them that stuff. Luke doesn't get homework. But so even the leader broke. But
can you guys hear me?
No.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Yeah, hi. Kelly, I can't hear you anymore.
That's Sarah though?
No, that's Kelly.
Oh, that is Kelly, okay.
Yeah, we
can.
Hello.
I just saw
the hello. We can hear you say hello, but we haven't heard anything else.
Can you hear me now, though?
I can hear you now,
Okay. Why is my microphone
on? Oh.
Sorry.
So, I'm sorry we ignored you. What is there anything you can share?
I was trying to say earlier that, I agree with y'all about the different parts of the team and stuff, but also I think making a good team is knowing the strengths of those teams, kind of like how you were mentioning with at the retreat, how Katie basically asked, what is everybody good at? So that, we can find people who can help others if you're struggling somewhere. And then that way you know your strengths.
Yeah.
So collaboration is really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's sometimes too, by not, like at the retreat, I can do this, whatever this is, but I can't do it alone. Or I can't do this part of it. I need somebody to fill in.
Yeah.
So that's where I think. You're right,
And me not being able to do homework took really well when someone else was working beside me. Like, Friday night, whenever Sarah, she was working on costumes, I was working on Kermit stuff. It was great. I just need, someone to help me get. Don't even need somebody to work around the same thing as me. Just, But yeah, no, absolutely. So, I got a long stretch of passages here, and I think everybody's at least a bit familiar with this, but I want to just take your time and read this, one verse at a time, just trying to let it sit in. Anna, would you go, and Kelly, would you go after Lee?
Kelly, which one?
You, because you're the only, is there another Kelly on one line?
Kelly T.
Okay, Kelly T., are you okay with reading?
She's muted, so...
Okay, so I'm going to let Kelly T. stay muted unless she wants to join in. But Kelly Curry, you go after Lee, and then Winston will go after you, and we'll just read it line by line. Okay, Anna?
But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be.
If they were all one part, where would the body be?
As it is, there are many parts, but one body.
Kelly?
She's driving.
Hold on.
Oh,
sorry, I'm driving.
Oh, my bad, my bad. Okay, never mind. We're not gonna, never mind, okay? Do not read. I'm sorry. I did not realize you were driving. My bad.
Sorry,
I
was gonna drive.
Yeah, no, be safe. I didn't, my bad.
Sorry. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you.
On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable.
And the parts that we think are less honorable retrieve special honor, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty.
While our presentable parts need no special
treatment. I don't know.
The body together.
Yeah, I get it.
But the body together, giving great honor to the parts that lacked it.
Jennifer?
So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues.
Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles?
Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?
Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
Okay. So, you know, what are some things we can grab from these passages? Yes.
Okay, I've had back problems most of my life, and it's amazing that when that goes out, how your whole, you can't even cough. And I know every time, you know, I go through like a spell or something like that, I'm like, it's my back that hurts, and yet I can't do any of these other functions or whatever. How inner everything is a part of each other.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah. No,
and how if one part suffers, every part suffers.
Yeah.
It, you know? Oh, that is really true.
Yes. Very cool. Other thoughts we can get from this?
I think I always like how it's, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. So it's like, this is most important. This is most important. And this one. But then also miracles and gifts of healing. Aren't those more important? I think it's kind of like a perspective kind of thing.
Right,
it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just because you think one thing is important doesn't mean it's the most important.
Right. I mean, admittedly, like, first of all, apostles might literally just be because apostles are first. Like,
yeah.
They're the ones who start things.
That's true. Yeah,
that's fair. I mean, you know, it might not necessarily be a ranking.
Yeah, I would doubt that it is. But, I mean, it just feels that way.
Yeah, no, it kind of does feel like a ranking.
Yeah.
Like, Paul, what you doing?
Well, it's kind of what you're in the need of,
I am.
True.
Yes, Kelly?
I was thinking that the fact that it's a very humbling, like, collection of, like, explanations.
Yeah.
It's all like, you know, it's all like, it's just, like, yes, it's giving props to every role and every gift and every body part and things like that. But at the same time, it's also like reeling back in the fact that like just like everything, like we're all in like this bigger picture.
Yeah.
And that we can. There has to be a community, there has to be a village that raises the child, there has to be multiple parts for the body to work. Otherwise,
yes.
You're working, everybody's working extra hard.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise.
Yeah.
And you're straining.
Yeah.
And it's a struggle. So, for there to be, like, a peaceful, like, cohabitation or homeostasis, you have to have every moving part.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I also really liked this part of, you know, where it's talking about, like, the park we think of less honorable, which is a special honor park, which is a special modesty. And, like, you know, I'm thinking, like, how that relates to the body of Christ. Like, there are a lot of, like, hidden jobs, thankless labor, behind the scenes type thing that, you know, kids ministry, but that take a lot of work and don't always get the acknowledgement that they have. Also, like, there is opportunity for jealousy. You know, because the big flashy apostle people, you know, they were first. You know, why apostle first? but like, there's room for jealousy there. But we need to remember, and you know, like Kelly, you said, humility is such an important part of this. And just kind of follow, you know, trying to sum it up. You know, be humble in power. Like, you have giftings, you have power. Acknowledge that and be humble in it. And then trust and act in love. Yeah.
Well, that was one of the things I was thinking about, because it was talking about the body. Everybody's the same. You know what I mean? I don't care. You all have eyes, you all have, you know,
yeah.
There might be a little bit of misplacement, but it's we, you know, not, one is not greater, one person is not put together greater than another person.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
I would disagree.
Okay, cool.
But it also reminds me of, like, David.
Mm-hmm.
And how he was the littlest, and they're like, I can't fight the giant. He's the like, and I can't fight the giant. I'm little. And he's so like, we're going to use you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, God definitely uses us in ways that one might not expect to use the gift. What?
Bless you.
Bless you. Yeah. And then, you know, great cliffhanger, Paul, but, you know, now even regard, you know, and yeah, I will show you the most excellent way. And so, I debated whether or not to include it because everybody kind of knows it first, but it's, you know, it's such a great one. You know, the most excellent way is literally love passages. The, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. And then, you know, the big one. would somebody else like to read this? Lee, would you like to?
Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves.
Yeah.
Perseveres, sorry.
Yeah. So I often, like, hear this in relation, you know, like, you know, either a generic love or a, you know, couple or, you know, one-on-one type love, but I think it's interesting to look at this in the context of a team, or look at in the context of the body of Christ, which is what you know, literally the passage, you know, chapter before this. And this is the way we need and ideally should be treating each other. And just, yeah. So, I just wanted to bring that because it's such a good verse. Like, I mean, yeah. Anyway.
Maybe,
sorry, geeking out a little bit. Yeah?
Maybe we should remember this before by September 3rd.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Well, there's the second half of 5. I think all of it is really kind of easy, but the one about it is not easily angered and keeps no record of wrongs.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of my downfall. You know? I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and
I,
I think a part of the keeping the record so strong is the assuming the love of others. Like, oftentimes we look at this and say, okay, I need to be patient, I need to be kind, but also assume the best of others. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, if there's a pattern, you know, like, you know, always disclaimer, don't take, you know, any, you know, even this amazing passage can be taken to the extreme and be toxic and, you know, but when somebody cuts you off, you know, like, I would be equivalent of, in a team, you know, hey, you know, I was saying stuff, it wasn't like anybody was hearing me. It is not, you know, don't assume intention. Like, oftentimes we are all fallible and make mistakes. And we're all dealing with our own stuff, and so just doing each other grace. And also, doesn't actually talk about it here, but communication, like, hey, I kind of got my feelings hurt when you talked over me there. And it helps. There's not always an easy conversation, and I do not always like those type of confrontations. But, you know, people are hard. Go back. And loving people can be hard. And especially it's hard when you have to confront them or, you know, have hard conversations. But I think if we just start with the assumption of love, the understanding that we're all working towards the same goal, but we're also very different and interpret things differently, then we can have conversations. Yeah.
I think, too, what is not in here is that love is part is sacrifice.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we have to sacrifice our feelings or sacrifice our desires for the good of the team.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Know, or
for
the good to see the end goal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But at the same time, there, me and Sarah often talk about, you know, toxic. The issue is when I sacrifice my needs for other people's wants.
Mm-hmm.
So just be aware of that. That is where it becomes toxic, is the, I am sacrificing something that I need for something that somebody else really just wants. It's not a need for them. And so that is a overly simplified, but a good metric of, am I taking this too far? And, you know, sometimes, you know, I need sleep and the baby needs fed, that happens. But, if it's, you know, okay, anything, even amazing biblical passages, can be taken to an extreme that they become toxic.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Okay, so here's the summary that I came up with. Other people can put it in their own work if they want. We are stronger when we work together. God gives and uses our diversity of strength, and then act in humility and in love. Any other thoughts on what we talked about, what team and working with other people? Okay. And then application, encourage your team, whoever that may be. Think about who's on your team and take time to compliment them on their strengths. Doing so is both good for them, but it's also good for you. Like, it is acknowledging that I am grateful, you know, even just figuring out, what do I compliment them on? It should help you in the mindset of valuing what they're good at. But,